momentum, I'm tired. Can't get on the spot. I quit running. I can feel the only inches behind. I escape, I survive. Somehow I got it.
Yo, Diamond Dave's back. We're going live. Hey, David. Hey, people out there around the planet. We're going live. This is Enemy Combatant Radio. Here we be, as you see. And we're going to also, don't panic, we'll keep it organic also on Thursdays. I want to let people know, Thursday, if you're interested in doing a show here, if you're interested in participating every Thursday at 7 o'clock or 7:30, we also have a meeting inviting people to come and tell us what programs they like to do, how they lend a hand to keep this Enemy Combatant Radio going, going around the planet, at indiebay.org. And also today, I want to let people know we're doing something very new. We have a new addition. We have a new affiliate. Hey, Vincent. Vincent in Pittsburgh, who has Blast Furnace Radio, is going to be putting this on and putting it all across the East Bay, East Coast, and we'll be here on the West Coast, and we'll both be putting it around the planet, so you'll be able to get it at least a couple ways. And we're live. I've just come, I'm back from the Rainbow Gathering in West Virginia. In fact, that's how I know Vincent, because I stopped and stayed with him, and we did radio, and we put it across, and we let it go, and we found that common thread. We cast a wide net, found the common thread, and let it flourish by Blast Furnace Radio and Enemy Combatant, IndieBay.org, the East Coast and the West Coast. And I thought I'd kick it off with a poem, because that's what I like to do. I'll do a poem, and then let me introduce the people who are here. David Grace, engineer and intelligent, freewheeling human being. And we have this brother here who's got here because he's interested in doing a show on this. And he's got, and we'll get, what's your name, bro?
My name's Terry.
Hey, Terry. Terry, and we have a sister who's doing a show here. Hey, sister. How's it going? Let people know that probably those regular listeners know your voice, but identify yourself. Miss Anthony,
you know what I think? Is there a little switch? Something's going on right here. This one, you need an engineer. Holy crap! We're not getting anything off this mic. What's going on?
Okay, well, I'm gonna do this poem while we're getting started, to get the flow going. We're getting the mic going. And while I was in, I was at the Rainbow Gathering, where I way up in the Appalachians, in central West Virginia, thousands came. And it turned out, I came into the gathering, and they said, hey, Diamond Dave, guess what? Well, when I was coming in, I noticed the road, the two-lane blacktop that was going up there into the mountains, went to the town, the nearest town, Richwood, West Virginia. And as we're coming through, I look up for the first time, there's a banner, a multicolored rainbow banner right over Main Street. It said, welcome, Rainbow Family. And I said, wow, what's this? Richwood, West Virginia. I could see a town that had seen better days. Almost everything was closed on Main Street. I believe there is one 7-Eleven. Otherwise, it was closed. I got up and I said, what's with this Richwood? And they said, the mayor, Bob Henry Barber, is a poet. And the new mayor of Richwood, representing the Green Party. The Green Party is called the Mountain Party in West Virginia. And this is also the town where the headquarters of Massey Coal. It's Massey Coal that's doing this massive stunt, cutting off the mountaintops to get at the last of the coal. And there's a big battle going on in West Virginia. I could see it could become an insurrectionary place. And so I went to see Bob Henry Barber. We call him Mayor Barber. And the poet. And I want to open, as we're just getting this ready, I want to open with a poem of his. Just because I like to do it. So, hey, Mayor Baba, if you're listening on the internet, and I think you are, here it's coming at. This is a poem of his. And he gave me his book called A Picture from Life's Other Side. Appalachian Poems. Bob Henry Barber, Mayor of Richwood, West Virginia. And not only we did, I didn't open mic at the gathering. At the Rainbow Gathering, and he came and did some poetry, and all these really good poets, a lot of kids, a lot of hip-hop kids getting down where poetry and spirituality all were, where the spirit and the politics and the poetry all were, and he came and did some poetry at the Instant Soup Kitchen around the fire, and it was amazing. If you don't know the Rainbow Gathering, go to welcomehome.org and see some pictures from this year's gathering, other gathering. Thousands come. You give what you can, and you get what you need. Who's in the Rainbow family? Anybody with a belly button is practicing anarchy. Here's a poem of his called Richwood. Richwood. And he's back there because his grandfather, his great-grandfather, and maybe his great-great-great-grandfather were there in Richwood, and he'd gone out, but he came back to assume the old land and get involved there in the community, and he's definitely done that. Richwood. Once I was a grape knee-high to the Woodhicks, standing on the porch of the sportsman, chewing mail pouch tobacco and spitting into a Heinz pork and beans can. Just a stripling, really. Green and tender as a yearling. All ears and crew cut and jughead, sent on a mission of milk, but waylaid by words and stories of wildcats and blood blizzards. Skid roads and timber. It took four tries with a 6 foot cross and timber. It took four tries with a 6 foot cross cut to lay down. On hot day, when pulp swelled with puberty, I absorbed the wood grain of men who with horses stretched sinews and mud and work, who dug broken heels into mountains and shale and grunted together like primal lovers in suffering sweat, who filled their nostrils with fog and laurel thickets, wood smoke and fresh-cut oak, whose tongues grew fat with Cairo syrup, thick as spring sap on biscuits, who stripped naked and laid down in Laurel Creek, bathed themselves inside and out with moonshine and gathered pollen from the bodies of your women, sweeter than wild sun's honeysuckle, who scattered ski seeds over these hills that sprouted and prospered safely beneath their canopy. But now, with the stumps of ancient snags rotting at my base, I stand alone in sweet water and sun, spiraling into an empty sky, my roots sunk deep into humus, leaf mold, and regrets richer for one who thrived here than death itself. This is a place where the mine owners, the mine companies are trying to cut off the tops of the mines, where a battle is going on to stop the clear cuts, to stop the mine owners and get it down. And it was no accident, I think, that the Rainbow family coming in and connecting to what is happening there locally and indigenously, a great spirit. And there's check out the Appalachian Project, Appalachian Summer, and you can see the project that's going on there, just as up in the great trees of the Northern California and Oregon, the struggle of Earth first came down. It's going on down indigenously there in the hills of West Virginia. West Virginia, Tennessee, and all along the Appalachians. But here we be, as you see, still feeling. So, hey, brother, let's start with you. You came, you have an idea of doing a show. Tell us a bit about it.
My friend Brian is going to be doing a call-in show, and I'm basically going to be his engineer.
Okay.
And basically, it'll involve mostly opinions and politics.
Well, we're about that.
And then there's also some music here and there, you know, to give some people some breathing space in between the craziness.
So Brian is a knowledgeable guy. What's happened in politics? What's happening down here at the base? What's happening? What do you mean by politics? Let's define that a bit.
To get a more clearer view, you'd really want to talk to Brian.
Okay, let's bring Brian in next week, and we'll talk to Brian.
Okay.
And we can do some of that. We can put it out there and invite people to call in, and we can check him out and see what he does. How's that? That seems to be really good. Okay, sister, you're doing a show here already. What day?
Yes, it's on Tuesday evenings, 9 to 11, actually every second and last Tuesday of the month. I do Wham Radio.
Okay, what's Wham Radio?
Wham Radio is Women's Audio Mission Radio. And Women's Audio Mission is a San Francisco-based, woman-run nonprofit. And we provide training and technology to women and girls who are interested in learning about audio production.
Audio Mission. So your mission, is this a double meaning? Your mission is to train your sisters, but also the mission is a neighborhood that we're right in the midst of. Is there to be that connection? Are you guys in the mission?
No.
Well,
there's no
good
connection to the Mission District other than the show.
So you're playing music. Are you doing some hands-on training on the air? What's your mission? Tell us about a typical two-hour show on one of your Tuesdays.
Well, I will be playing, and I do play, music that is produced, engineered, performed by female artists.
Oh, shoot. So any female artists there, get out here, who would like to do just that, poetry, music, poetry, singer-songwriters, whatever, they should get a hold of you and get a chance to be to go around the planet thanks to Enemy Combatant Radio.
That's
do
right.
We got it? And also people who would be women, pardon me, women, sisters, pardon me, even better, sisters who'd be interested in learning some hands-up tech as to how to do this and to do for self and do for the community and do with the gender, this would be a good place to connect to you too.
That's correct.
Well, how to do that? How can they do that?
They can go to www.womensaudiomission.org. And drop us an email. And
well, that's cool. That's,
yeah, we can tell you all about how to get involved.
Well, cast a wide net. Find the common thread, and the common thread is women women getting involved on either side of the mic. And this is a helping friend. We encourage it to flourish. And then don't panic. We'll keep it organic. So is this? So the next one will not be this. Will that be this coming Tuesday? I think it will.
Yes, it will.
So see for yourself, hear for yourself, get a give a listen, click right on indiebay.org and then right on Enemy Combatant Radio, and there you'll be, and you're no farther away than the telephone or right here. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay. Do you got any plans for this coming Tuesday? Are you going to feature anybody?
No, I don't have anyone lined up. Next month I will be talking to... Well, I hope to be talking to the ladies from Charming Hostess.
Oh, they're good.
Yes.
They're really good. Hey, hey Daisy, do you know Charming Hostesses? They're like they remind me a bit of a Bulgarian choir. They're like, aren't they? They're like a choir. But they're doing all kinds of different parts. They're real geniuses. You say, wow, these are, when you hear a Charming Hostess, you've heard something. I'm glad they're still around. I remember the first time I heard them, they blew me away. They're like Balkan singers, but they give it a modern, contemporary spin, and they're really good. Is that right? Do you have any Charming Hostesses on that over there?
No, we don't have,
okay, because it would be lovely. It would be really charming to be able to play some right now. So, but you get a sense, they're really good. I'm definitely down with them. I remember the first time I heard them, I said, wow, these are some talented. I'm as happy as I could be. This is what I call entertainment and entertainment, putting in my heart. So what else? Hey, since you're a fairly a veteran, if you will, of Enemy Combatant Radio, can you tell us offhand of some of the other shows going on here around the clock or around the week or around the sun or whatever? Do you have any other friends doing shows here?
No, I don't. I know the news is happening on Monday nights, 7 to 8, but they're actually... a lot of slots open for
there's
people
time available. That's what we're getting to. And that's what we're getting to so people can call. What's the number here?
415-864-1006.
So either give us a call. That's the number. Send an email. You know how to do that. Or give us a call after the show, and we'll connect and hook it up and come on third Thursday, come on down and let us know what you'd like to do. This is a service waiting for you to participate. Come on down, and isn't this true that this goes around the planet as well?
Yes.
And isn't it true that you don't have to hear it just at this time when you're on live, but that you can be heard at other times just by clicking on the show?
Right.
24/7 anywhere in the planet.
Yeah.
So I believe out there, there's people with that imagination who have something they like to put on. Charming Hostesses, you found them. Well, let's click on, let's hear, rather than just talking about it, let's do a segue. And I see Daisy, we're going to be talking to Daisy, but let's do a segue. Get ready for the Charming Hostesses. Take it away, David.
Let's get the good routine, go straight to the bed where the sheet.
Okay. Good wife keeping, that's the Charming Hostesses, and you're going to, if you want to hear a whole show devoted to the Charming Hostesses, and they'll be coming in the studio, I assume. Is that right?
We haven't worked that out yet.
But probably it's a pretty good chance they're right here in the neighborhood.
Pretty good chance, yes.
It sounds like a winner, a very likely thing. We just heard from Free Radio Dallas, they're still in there. San Diego apparently got busted. That's on the... undocumented, unlicensed, and no longer on the air. San Diego Free Radio Dallas just called. They're still going for it. Apparently, they're still up for it, from what I understand. But anyway, Daisy, welcome to Anarchy Radio here. Daisy Anarchy, welcome to Anarchy Radio for sure. Daisy and I go all the way back to the middle or even early '80s, don't we?
Yes, we do, Dave. Dave Diamond Dave is a true friend indeed. The last time I was in jail, Dave came to visit me in person to read Rumi to me in jail. And the way the visiting is set up in the San Francisco County Jail, it's, you don't just have a private visit. Like, all the prisoners have to sit on one side together and all their visitors on the other side. So Dave was not only bringing poetry and Rumi to me in jail, but he was bringing Rumi to many sisters in jail.
All the sisters, that whole line of sisters.
And it's a true friend indeed who will come to jail in person to visit you and bring you Rumi. Well, so Dave, thank you for being a wonderful friend to the working girl over the years.
Well, shoot. Well, we go all the way back to those early days when punk rock was in flower for sure. And I think I forgot where we first met, but for sure, actually, I was there, but I lived right around the corner, so it wasn't that I had to come across the country or come down. I come around the corner on a Saturday with my book of Rumi and read the poetry, and I felt really good to be able to read Rumi because he's a very positive poet. He had the great spirit that this too will pass and that they can't really jail the human spirit. And he's writing from the 14th century, way back in the 14th century, and I'm sure if his spirit is dead, I think he'd be really happy to see they'd been brought right because the prison doors would open with poetry. Poetry will open up the prison doors. Well, speaking of poetry, hey, Daisy, I want you to begin. You're going to begin with a poem. Go ahead, sister.
Yes, I am. This poem is called I Deserve to Be Safe. I deserve to be safe, whether I am giving it away or selling it. I deserve to be safe, whether I am a nun in a convent or a street corner hooker in a run-down inner city neighborhood. I deserve to be safe, whether I am saving it for marriage or selling it at a price you can or cannot afford. I deserve to be safe regardless of just how much of it I am selling, be it only striptease you can look but don't touch, or good old-fashioned half and half honey. If I am selling it, I deserve to be safe. Whether I am selling it to one sugar daddy or as many takers as I can catch. If I am selling it, I deserve to be safe. Whether I'm selling it in the classiest brothel in the county or on the street where the cheapest hoes in town work. If I am selling it, I deserve to be safe. Whether I am the health food, earth mother, goddess whore, or the most desperate, strung out, junkie, toss up. Anarchist though I am, I believe I deserve police protection. Whether I am getting paid to teach your child kindergarten or getting paid to suck your dick. I deserve police protection. Whether I am your wife or the hooker you see when you tell your wife you're out watching the game with the boys. I deserve police protection, regardless of whether I give it away or sell it, because I deserve to be safe. I deserve respect. I deserve respect whether I am your mother who nursed you and changed your diapers, or the whore you pray your mother doesn't know you're with. I deserve your mother's respect, too. I deserve respect whether I'm in a nurse's uniform or a stripper's pasties or a hooker's miniskirt. I deserve respect for the hard work I do, whether I pay my rent with money earned working in the factory or working on the street. I deserve respect for the hard work I do, whether I buy my groceries with money earned cleaning your house, building your house, or fucking you. My life is precious. My life is precious. Whether I am the daughter you cherish or the hooker you fuck who is only as old as your daughter. My life is precious. Whether I comfort crying children or comfort the sick and dying or comfort you sexually and emotionally. My life is precious. Whether I am the wife who slept with only one man her entire life, or the hooker who loves her job. My contribution to society is valuable. Whether I am cooking you meals, engineering solar power, creating beautiful works of art, or giving you sexual pleasure. My contribution to society is valuable. Whether I am dancing in the ballet or in the sleaziest strip club in town. I deserve to be safe. I deserve police protection. I deserve respect. My life is precious and my contribution to society is valuable. Don't be surprised when I expect safety and protection and respect, for I know that my life is precious, and I know that my contribution to society is valuable. The souls and lives and dreams of 100,000 beaten, jailed, and murdered prostitutes are righteously avenged and finally freed by this hooker's expectation of safety and protection and respect and my knowledge that my life is precious and my knowledge that my contribution to society is valuable. Give this gift to yourself, beloved sister. Share this gift with our family. With this gift of loving self-respect, righteously avenge, finally free a weary world of beaten, jailed, and murdered prostitutes. May we all live free in the glory and joy of life that every human being deserves.
Hey, Daisy, that really sums it up, and I'm down with it. Hey, Daisy, let's start with now, because you have an event coming up. We'll talk a bit about that, and then take it back and come on back. Take it back down through the decades. I know a lot of the work you've done, and We'll talk about that. But first, let's talk about what's going to be happening very shortly. What are you doing these days?
On Saturday night, July 23rd at 8 p.m. at the Mission Cultural Center in San Francisco, which is on Mission Street in between 24th and 25th Street, we're going to be having an event. It's co-sponsored by Labor Fest. I want to thank Labor Fest for working with Sex Workers Organized for Labor, Human, and Civil Rights and the Erotic Service Providers Union the last couple of years. Labor Fest has been very supportive of including working women's labor issues and working women's labor-related culture in Labor Fest, and I really appreciate that. So anyway, this Saturday we're going to be having a show. It was originally entitled Zapatista Strippers, Revolutionary Whores, but unfortunately, our Zapatista stripper had to retreat to the mountains. You all understand this. Sometimes the guerrillas have to retreat back to the mountains, and unfortunately, to my extreme sorrow and dismay and distress, our Zapatista stripper has retreated to the mountains for the weekend. So it will not be Zapatista strippers and revolutionary whores as previously advertised. It will just be revolutionary whores. So that is what is happening on Saturday night.
Well, things happen. In fact, the Zapatistas are reemerging after going back to the mountains. Are reemerging. And if you go to Indie Media, you'll be able to get something. And or go to Google and put in Zapatista, you'll get some of the new manifestos that the subcommittee Marcos has put out as to where they are now. So they're going back, but they're coming back, and here we are. So anyway, so that's going to be at Mission Cultural Center on Saturday.
Right.
And right now we're here. And tell us a bit. Well, Daisy, now how do I Daisy? I knew you before you're Daisy. In fact, you've been Daisy for about 15 years now, haven't you?
Probably more than that.
Maybe even more. So we're going way back to that era, that punk rock era, and also when you were beginning to dance at places like on Market Street, the Market Street Cinema and so on, mm-hmm. You were beginning to dance, and then out of that came your role as an organizer of dancers and strippers and so on. Tell us a bit about that. And also, of course, you come from up there in that part of the country called the Northwest, so you also did some really real work insofar as calling for investigations and putting pressure on the powers-to-be after that long series of murder, during that long series of murders that they were pretty much ignoring called the Green River Murders. That was another work in my mind that you did. Tell us a bit about all of that that's led to here.
I started out my career in sex work, working on the street. I also worked as a call girl. Then I started working as an exotic dancer. And I've been doing sex work activism for, I hate to date myself, but it would probably be 23 years now, on behalf of prostitutes' rights and all sex workers' rights, including exotic dancers' rights. I've worked with many different organizations. One of them that we had here in San Francisco was the Coalition to Support the Green River Working Group, which was the San Francisco support group of the Coalition to Stop the Green River Murders, which were happening up in Seattle, which was the largest serial murder case in the history of the United States, which was mostly young women of color who were prostitutes. And I really believe that the reason it went on so long was because these women were young Black prostitutes, most of them, that if it had been young, you know, white University of Washington college students, it never would have gone on so long. And in fact, when they finally caught the guy recently, they found out that, like, you know, 20 years ago, people came to the police saying, look, we think this is the guy that's committed some murders.
That was in Montana or somewhere.
No,
it's place.
in Washington.
Oh, really?
And, you know, it was like a white working class guy, you know, that was committing the murders. And, you know, people of color were coming to the police fingering this white working class guy. And, you know, I really feel like that it's not that part of the reason these murders went on so long was because it was prostitute women that were getting murdered. The other part of it was racism, was that most of them were women of color. And, you know, when people from the community, their family members came to, you know, the predominantly white police force saying, we believe this white man is killing our daughters, you know, they were not listened to. They were not respected. And again, I believe that if it had been white University of Washington college students, it never would have gone on so long. But So yeah, so there's, you know, it's, that's part of the struggle. We believe that the criminalization of prostitution leads to violence against prostitutes, leads to much greater violence against prostitutes because of the criminalization than if prostitution was decriminalized. We believe in, and I believe in, the complete decriminalization of adult consensual prostitution. And that is, you know, I am the founder of an organization called Sex Workers Organized for Labor, Human, and Civil Rights. And, you know, one of the main things that we're fighting for is the decriminalization of adult consensual prostitution. But, of course, we are completely against any form of coerced prostitution. And we're having, over the last 9 years, we've been in a big struggle around coerced prostitution in San Francisco strip clubs. In 1996, when Willie Brown became the mayor, he used to be the private attorney for one of the big dance club owners, and Terrence Hounan became the district attorney, and he is now the private attorney for the Mitchell Brothers Theater, one of the bigger dance club owners. They put private booths in all the clubs that we were supposed to go into one-on-one with the customer. They were charging us to work illegal fees of, you know, around $25, and they raised these fees to hundreds of dollars.
Yeah, on a day, and just by being like, it's like a
cab per
driver.
Shift, right.
Exactly.
For example, in 95, before Brown and Hallinan came in, we were paying, I think it was $25 for an eight-hour shift at the Market Street Cinema. At the beginning of 1996, when Brown and Hallinan came in, one of the managers of the Market Street Cinema was telling girls, oh, now that Willie Brown's the mayor, we can do whatever we want, and we want to have brothels like in Amsterdam. And they raised the stage fee, the illegal fee that they were forcing women to pay to work. They were illegally not paying wages, and they were forcing women to pay to work out of their tip money. They raised that fee from $25 for 8 hours to $180 for 4 hours. And we're directly encouraging women to do acts of prostitution to pay these illegal fees. Now, again, we believe in the complete decriminalization of adult consensual prostitution, but we don't believe anybody should be coerced into prostitution if you go in to get a job as anything else. You know, dancer, a waitress, a lawyer, a radio DJ, whatever, nobody should be telling you, oh, now you're going to pay me and you're going to go in this private booth and do prostitution and give me the money. And that's what has happened in the San Francisco strip clubs. Within a few months, we actually went to the police because things were so severe, because women were getting raped and sexually assaulted, and because of the coercion into prostitution, and because it was most severely affecting the most vulnerable women, the younger women, the immigrant women, and we asked for help. You know, we said women are getting coerced into prostitution, women are getting raped and sexually assaulted, and the police said, oh, well, we'd have to arrest the women. We said, what do you mean? We're here. You don't have to arrest the women because we are the women and we're here. And basically, you know, the police wouldn't do anything about it. The district attorney, Terrence Hallinan, wouldn't do anything about it. Now it's, you know, and we knew eventually that he was in the pay of the dance club owners. And now that he's the attorney for the dance club owners, now that he's no longer the district attorney, you know, it's obvious to everyone what was going on. But basically what's happened in San Francisco is they are trying to push all the prostitution into the strip clubs. The strip clubs is the arrest-free zone. So that if you work independently on the internet, you know, I have had, you know, adult women working consensually, doing prostitution, charging, you know, healthy amounts of money, you know, requiring that the gentlemen customers participate in safe sex, and they have, you know, little discreet ads on the internet or little ads in the newspaper, and the police spend the taxpayers' money to go and send 10 police officers to entrap one woman and drag her off to jail, you know, when she is just participating in consensual sexual activity, as we believe should be her civil right. However, in the strip clubs, you have, I remember, for example, one story that I tell a lot that I think really shows what's going on in there is one night I was working at the New Century Theater at a time when the stage fee was $150. Again, that means that we were being forced to pay illegally $150 out of our tip money for the night to work. And it was a slow night. There were more dancers than there were customers. And every dancer was going to have to come up with $150 to pay the club to keep her job. And I was sitting in the audience next to a 19-year-old girl. There were only a couple customers in the club. And she pointed, this 19-year-old girl pointed out a customer to me, and she said, "Daisy, I know you don't like to do this, but that customer gives you $20 for bareback blowjobs. And I've done two of them for him so far tonight, and he comes really quick. And I know you don't like to do it, but now I have $40 for my stage fee. And Daisy, I know you don't have anything, and I know he still has more money." So basically, the situation that you have in San Francisco is you've got teenage girls doing unsafe sex, you know, $20 bareback blowjobs in the strip clubs, so that they can pay these illegal stage fees to the dance club owners who are paying off the police and the district attorney, including the current district attorney, Kamala Harris, who's refusing to do anything and who took campaign money from Terrence Allen, who owns the illegally operating Chez Paris and Deja Vu. So we've got this situation where the police are, you know, they just busted all these massage parlors and deported. They arrested 100 women, and they said, oh, they were worried about trafficking. But there's not a big problem of trafficking. You know, a lot of immigrant women immigrate and use prostitution as a tool to refuse domestic violence and poverty in the third world country.
In the trafficking and the women, trafficking women, even they say that women are being brought here as kind of slaves. And
right.
But you say that the real slaves are somewhere else.
Well, yeah, a lot of women use a lot of immigrant women, you know, including a lot of Caucasian immigrant women over the years, have used prostitution as a tool to immigrate, to leave situations of domestic violence, to leave situations of war and civil war, to leave situations of poverty, you know, to immigrate to the United States and send money back to their hungry family members, or be able to, you know, try to start a new life for themselves. And so anyway, you know, we're supposed to be a sanctuary city here, but the police, you know, busted all these Asian massage parlors, took 100 women in. They've already deported 59 women, and the other women they're keeping, and they haven't said if any of those women are, quote, victims, unquote, or they said that some of them are being held because they're material witnesses in the case. Against the people that arranged for their transportation into the United States. So basically there's this whole uproar right now about, oh, people are all afraid about this trafficking of women against their will, this sexual slavery. Now, of course, like I said, we're against any kind of coerced prostitution. So, of course, we're against any real trafficking. But they're blowing up. You know, it's like, right now the federal government is slashing all social services to all people. And so domestic violence programs, you know, healthcare programs, mental health programs are all getting slashed. Women's and children's services are totally getting slashed. Meanwhile, they're dumping hundreds of thousands of dollars into this trafficking enforcement for them to go and find these poor trafficked women when there really aren't hardly any, you know, that exist, you know, at least in San Francisco in the sex industry that I know of. And I've been working in the sex industry in San Francisco for, you know, nigh on 23 years. And so the point is that it's really, you know, it's just part of the federal government's homeland security xenophobia, you know, to deport people. And also, I feel that it's really racist. I feel that it's really racial profiling, this idea that, oh, there's these horrible, they think that there's these horrible Asian people forcing all these poor women into prostitution, when really they need to be focusing on, you know, the American-born, you know, men that are, you know, creating situations of domestic violence and incest and rape in their own homes. I mean, we're slashing services, you know, the domestic violence shelters and services that serve, you know, victims of sexual slavery, such as incest survivors, you know, and domestic violence survivors here in the United States, those services are getting cut, you know, to all women, whether they're immigrants or not, and they're spending hundreds of thousands of dollars in this whole theory that, oh, there's all these trafficked women, and the main result of all this is to force more prostitution into the strip clubs in San Francisco by shutting down the Asian massage parlors and to deport a lot of immigrant women.
And these strip clubs that you're talking about that you've had so much experience with is, in fact, part of the establishment of the San Francisco establishment. It might be a liberal establishment. And, in fact, people like Hallinan and so on are, in fact, liberals. They're progressives. In fact, something happened, and when the I think it's a good time, if you don't mind talking about this, that you were at the Progressive Convention up at St. Mary's Church, strangely enough, at the cathedral. And there's only one person who was asked to leave, who was escorted out. And that happened to be you, because you were putting out a flyer talking about just this. Talk a bit about
that. Right.
Well,
a new organization has started in San Francisco called the San Francisco People's Organization. And it's supposed to be a big progressive coalition. But I really believe that it's a machine on behalf of Supervisor Chris Daley, who puts himself out there as being very progressive and liberal. He is progressive on certain issues. However, last year, he worked with the illegally operating dance club owners on legislation to legalize these private booths that are the tool of coerced prostitution and rape and sexual assault. He wouldn't work with, you know, we wanted to at least see the legislation. He wouldn't let us see it. He was totally rude. His staff members were totally rude to us. And they ended up dropping the legislation and not even introducing it to the board, because we were totally fighting it before it even came out to the board. But there are a lot of people on the board of this San Francisco People's Organization that are supporting the illegally operating dance club owners. Michael Goldstein.
And these are people on the board, because most of the people didn't really know about.
In fact,
let's hasten to say that when you were being escorted out, that in fact people said, no, this woman has a right to speak freely. And didn't that also happen? And people stood up for you and made sure that you didn't get thrown out. So, and I think most people who were there are good-hearted people who have no idea that there's all this subtext going on. What they call practical politics is not who you know or what you know. It's about who you know about what you know. And Chris Daley's district, of course, is the Tenderloin, and money doesn't talk, it swears. Bob Dylan said that. And where does the money come from in a place like Tenderloin, as far as contributions, but from the very clubs you're talking about? So people can be blind, have a certain blindness, because it all depends on whose ox is getting gored.
Right. At the San Francisco People's Organization, I was trying to educate people. You know, I had a flyer that I was passing out about all these people that are in the supposed labor movement, such as Robert Holland, who's the political organizer of SEIU 790, Michael Goldstein, who's on the board of the San Francisco People's Organization, along with Chris Daley, these people that have these active connections that have been actively organizing on behalf of the illegally operating dance club owners against the sex industry workers fighting against the coerced prostitution in the dance clubs. Because we're afraid that the San Francisco People's Organization would be used to push an agenda saying that, oh, it's progressive to allow prostitution in the strip clubs. No, we, the sex workers, we, the prostitutes and the dancers, say that what is progressive is to allow women autonomy and, you know, to decriminalize prostitution so that we can work independently on our own or with each other, you know, women working with other women if we want, and not have to give them money to the dance club owners. We know that their idea of legalization of prostitution would be to allow all the dance club owners. I mean, I think they have de facto legalization of prostitution already, allowing it all to happen in the strip clubs. But when they have actual strip club owners creating legislation and working with supervisors such as Chris Daley, you know, on legislation that would legalize these private booths that are the tool of the coercion into prostitution and in which women get raped and sexually assault, you know, then we're trying to make it clear to people what's going on. Like you said, there are a lot of people at the San Francisco People's Organization that had no idea about all that stuff.
Except for you and the sisters with you. Very little of this gets out. When people talk about, when people talk or they discuss legalization and decriminalization and so on, I haven't seen too much discussion of what this means in terms of a commodification and capitalism and who's really being exploited and whose ox is getting gored, I don't know if that metaphor works or not. But anyway, it's good that you're putting it out there because hardly anybody else is. Mm-hmm. People think in a liberal way that must be a good thing, but in fact, we're talking about the real deal, the way it comes down. Well, tell me, I saw the documentary about which you have too. I don't know if you're in it about the unionization at the Lessee Lady. Mm-hmm. Remember, have you seen that film?
Yeah.
What did you think of it? Did you know these sisters?
Yes. The Lusty Lady is the one unionized strip club in San Francisco. They're unionized through Service Employees International Union, Local 790. I had been working with SEIU 790 for about the last 9 years around organizing the other dance clubs, too. We did get one union shop, or we did get a second union shop in another club. Both the Lusty Lady and the other club that we got 85% union card signed in, it was called the Regal Show World. Both of those clubs had, the women were already getting a wage. They weren't in this illegal situation where they were being forced to pay to work, and where there were private booths, there was glass separating the dancer from the customer, so they weren't having to fight the issue of coercion.
Well, the Lusty Lady was owned by women, too, wasn't it?
It is now. What happened?
Oh, yeah, that's what happened. That's good.
I was just trying to make the point that the two times that we've got union shop, you know, we didn't have the issues that we have in all these other clubs where their women are having to pay to work and where there's the coercion into the prostitution. The second club that where we got 85% union card signed, we went to the to set the union election at the National Labor Relations Board, and the dance club owner said, oh, they were bankrupt, and they closed it down, and then they reopened it 11 months later, which was illegal, with private rooms, where the girls have to go into private rooms one-on-one with the customers and pay large amounts of money to work. But anyway, so that's been our one unionized strip club, and yes, they when they had a successful fight for another contract against the old owners a couple years ago, the owners of the Lusty Lady too said, oh, well, we're going to close. But what happened was the women, with the help of the union, the women bought it, and it's now a workers' co-op union shop.
Yo.
So we're very, very grateful to have a workers' co-op union shop in San Francisco. However, the goal, of course, was to bring more women from the other clubs into the union. We really felt that we had to deal with these illegal stage fees, all the illegal monies. You know, for the dance club owners to charge women to work in any way, and they have all different kinds of tricks. They make women put money in a box. They make them give them tokens. They have all these different kind of tricks to make them, you know, so that they can say, oh, we're not charging them stage fees. But for the dance club owners to make the women to pay to work rather than paying them to work is illegal. And, you know, we're also fighting these private booths in which the women get raped and coerced into prostitution. And so we were doing that with the support of SEIU 790. However, what has happened recently is that their political organizer, Robert Holland, is a good friend of one of the illegally operating dance club owners, Terrence Allen, who owns the illegally operating Chez Paris. And he just got me thrown out of SEIU 790 after me being there for 9 years and our whole organizing project stopped. It's a typical problem that we have in unions where corrupt union bosses, corrupt union bureaucrats, you know, who have friends in whatever places are able to use their class positions, you know, as union bureaucrats to stomp the efforts of working people. And so that's just what happened in San Francisco. We, the members of SEIU 790, the member organizing committee last year voted unanimously to hire me to organize, you know, because for years I've been organizing on a volunteer basis,
Sure. You
know, to pay me to organize and to put money into an organizing project around, you know, dealing with the illegal stage fees, around dealing with the private booths, to then get it to a place where we could have you know, more union shops in the other strip clubs. But the dance club owners, you know, have many friends in many places in the so-called progressive movement. And we think it's important for people to know that coerced prostitution is not progressive. An environment where women are getting raped and sexually assaulted on the job, supporting that is not progressive. But these people, they call themselves progressives. You know, these people, because they have a job in the union or because they're a politician who supports, you know, pot smoking. Hey, we all support pot smoking in San Francisco. That doesn't make you progressive necessarily. You know what I mean? You know, they think that they call themselves progressives, but they're supporting these illegally operating dance club owners. So here we had this union bureaucrat in SEIU 790, you know, get our organizing project stopped, get me kicked out.
And labeled as a troublemaker and a crazy person and a loose cannon. And I'm sure I haven't heard the words. But I can almost hear them in my head.
Why don't you get in the game? When you're used to it.
But I did see that, and I did see that. And so, but here we are. Thank goodness for Indie Bay Media, so we can put it out there, because we're freewheeling, freestyling, and free flowing. Hey, Daisy, it's really good to see you. I did see that. I imagine you can get it most kind of like with a little avant-garde side video store. That video that was done, the documentary that was done about that organizing. Have you seen that?
Live New Girls Unite, is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah, it's really good to see those sisters and what they're doing and all of that. Anyway, I think it's... But anyway, so Dave, it's really good having you here. So let's go back to where we started. Oh, do you want to do another poem to come out with? You can.
I could do another poem. I guess one that would be appropriate after that story is... I've got...
Because I knew you first as a poet... For sure. I forgot exactly how we first knew each other. I knew at the farm.
I think we might have met at a punk rock show 20 years ago or more than 20 years ago, probably like 23 years ago, or at a soup kitchen. Back 20 years ago, both Diamond Dave and I, we were hitting those soup kitchens. We were the punk rockers on the streets,
hitting those.
Beatniks, hippies, and punks. Dave can tell you all about them.
Beatnik, hippie, punks, and skins, a three-generation rainbow. There we were watching it from the early days, and finally when it at the farm, had its brief moment of glory where hundreds of people were coming. You were living there. I was coming by there. We were putting on shows there, and Food Not Bombs was serving. And here we be, still up for it, still down for it, still around for it, still going for it, not ready to be in for it and out of it yet. Hey, Daisy, give us a poem.
Okay,
thanks for coming down. First, let's first mention that event again at the Mission Cultural Center on Saturday.
Saturday, July 23rd, 8 p.m., what was Zapatista strippers and revolutionary whores is now unfortunately just going to be revolutionary whores, because the Zapatista stripper had to retreat into the mountains.
Okay, so there's gonna be
but that's on Mission Street in San Francisco in between 24th and 25th, Saturday, July 23rd at 8 p.m.
And there's going to be various acts and various variety show and various music and whatever.
Right. And Dave, I just want to thank you again for, you know, we've talked about knowing each other over the years. I'm so grateful for your continued activism and struggle to support the community. As a woman that's been trying to carry a very unpopular issue, you know, the decriminalization of prostitution and sex workers' rights, you know, fighting dance club owners who are paying off the police and politicians, and making millions of dollars coercing women into prostitution, it doesn't always make me a very popular woman. And I, Dave, you know, I appreciate you being a friend to myself and all working women, and for continuing to stay there in the struggle for our whole community. Thank you so much, Diamond
Dave.
Well,
I've always seen what you've done. Hey, Daisy. Daisy, keep up the good work. We're down, up for it, down for it, and around for it. So let's go for it. This is going to be a benefit. This is going to be a benefit for
our organization is called Sex Workers Organize for Labor, Human, and Civil Rights, and we're also working with another fabulous sex workers' rights organization called the Erotic Service Providers Union, and it's co-sponsored by Labor Fest.
Okay,
the event.
You guys should get a show here. Think about it. I knew you were
thinking.
I think
we should.
That'd be
like
great.
A good idea.
That'd
we'll have
be
the
great.
Hooker's Corner on Indie Bay.
Exactly. Well, I believe it's totally appropriate, and I believe it could, it'd be really cool.
Right.
And then you bring people in to talk about it, and you can name names and do your thing and play some music and let it all hang out, if I can use that phrase. Go ahead, sister.
Thank you, Dave. So this poem is called Angry Whore. Do I dare to be that which the world seems to hate the most, an angry whore, a righteous whore, an indignant whore, a raging whore. You will suffer to bear me a little, if only I whimper and simper, fall to the ground and stay there crying, immobilized, paralyzed with grief and shame. You like to see a crying whore. You like to see a whore feeling shame. You like to see a whore immobilized and paralyzed with grief or whatever might cut her down. But, oh, I know you cannot bear an angry whore, a righteous whore, an indignant whore, a raging whore. You scream at me with hatred and contempt. Get up off your back, you yell at me. But when I rise to my feet, an angry whore, a righteous whore, an indignant whore, a raging whore, to fight for my right as a woman, to own my own body, to defy your laws and jails and hatred that would deny me my right to own my own body, oh, you hate me all the more. When you scream, get up off your back at me, you don't want me to get up off my back and rise to my feet in anger, righteousness, indignation, rage, self-respect, and self-love. No, you want me to get off my back and roll over with my face in the dirt, sobbing with shame. You want me to get off my back to crawl to you on my knees, begging your forgiveness for my existence. My brothers and sisters, take heed. I will lie on my back if I have to or want to, then rise to my feet to fight your hatred, laws, and jails as an angry whore, a righteous whore, an indignant whore, a raging whore, a whore with self-respect and self-love. Do I dare to be that which the world seems to hate the most? I am proud to be an angry whore. Praise be to the goddess. She has made me a righteous whore. I am grateful for the self-respect that allows me to be an indignant whore. I am blessed today to have the self-love to be a raging whore. Hatred is only and shallowly born of fear in this world so afraid of change, and the world knows that angry, righteous, indignant, raging whores have the strength and the wisdom to change the world with their respect and love for all human beings. Do I dare to be that which the world seems to hate the most, an angry whore? It is a path I walk with pride, not shame. It is said that pride goes before a fall. Well, there is some blessed freedom when the world decides for you, you are already fallen. I can walk with pride in my anger, righteousness, indignation, rage, self-respect, and self-love. Being already named a fallen woman by others, there's no place left to fall to with my pride. Do I dare to be an angry whore, so hated, so feared? I am proud to be an angry whore. Praise be to the goddess. She has made me a righteous whore. I am grateful for the self-respect that allows me to be an indignant whore. I am blessed today to have the self-love to be a raging whore.
Well, anyway, that's raging. Hey, Daisy. That's Daisy Anarchy. This has been live in San Francisco in the heart of the Mission. And so, folks, this is another edition of Poetry, Politics, or whatever, Organic Radio. Let me do a couple of things. Maybe we can go out, because somehow it seems fitting. Maybe we can go out. Can you find another tune by the charming hostesses? I want to mention a couple of events. Well, I want to mention one particularly. Since September 26th is that big march against the war, and it's pretty much in the hands of Answer and that whole crew on the 24th. But the 26th is going to be a special day of disobedience, civil disobedience, getting out in the streets. And this is I got from Code Pink. They were at this conference over in Berkeley. I just came from where spirituality and politics meet, and there will be, as you see. And they're having a couple of events. August 15th, from 5 a.m. till afternoon, they're going to put their bodies on the line. By there, anybody up there at the induction center in Sacramento of the National Guard Induction Center to stop people from being upset. National Guard from being sent over to Iraq. This is not what I almost said. Vietnam. That dates me. But we're back to square one, and it's going to be on the 15th, and then on the 26th. Pardon me. In San Francisco, D.C., and wherever there's going to be. There's going to be civil disobedience. There's going to be direct action. There's going to be getting in the streets, and that's on the 26th. And people who are interested in getting more information, it's 510-524-2736 510-524-2776, and that's the Stop the National Guard, Keep the National Guard at Home campaign. Bring them home, keep them at home, and also Code Pink is connected with that, and I'm sure Direct Action Against the War, I'm sure we'll be out there doing some things, because stay tuned to your local indie media, Indie Bay Media, Enemy Combatant Radio, and we'll keep bringing to you. I'll try to bring somebody on next week, some folks on next week, who can tell us more about it, and how we can get into the planning of that, get into the plannings here at the Grassroots, here at the bottom, looking up. And I want to end with another poem by the mayor of Richwood, West Virginia, Bob Henry Barbar. I know he's listening on the internet there in that little West Virginia town high in the Appalachians. Hey, Bob, San Francisco says hi. Hello, West Virginia. Hello, Bob. Hello, the Appalachians. Here we be, as you see. And this is called Vandalia, which is a town high in the Appalachians there, where the coal. West Virginia, what is it that draws me back to you? What is your primal pull that holds me like metal to a magnet? Is it laurel thickets riotous with blossoms, deep mines, and picket lines, rain that never ends? Is it bear stories and wild strawberries, the old home place now overrun with black snakes, where pastoral childhood summers slip by, days of black-eyed Susans and golden haystack? What is it that draws me towards your wicked winters, cruel greenbriars and hard times? Why return to your mountains? Cursed by coal and the caprices of slick operators. There's always the slick operators, the ones at the strip clubs of the Tenderloin, and the ones who are raping the earth over in West Virginia. There's the slick operators, those who make you their whore and pimp you for profit. Those who make you their whore and pimp you for profit. Why come back to this Vandalia that was once almost heaven, but which, with every gash of the blade, now approaches hell to pay? West Virginia, your hillsides cry milk jug tears, litter of resignation. Your streams are floating landfills of grief. Your factories are a script of minimum wage anguish. Your welfare offices a nightmare of Republican eligibility workers. West Virginia, your children have known hunger and worse, the shame of hunger in a land of plenty. West Virginia, your miners have known supercanosis. Pumiconosis, black lung disease. And worse, the inability to fight for benefits for dearth of breath. And your dreams, so lately made of black squalor, slide darkly into the mighty hollers of pain. West Virginia, this is your grimmest hour, the 100-year flood of negative emotions, the monsoon of your season and man-made hell. Still, the means of your tormentors will never be your end, for you will thrive and survive. Will, with ample rain, sun, and time, heal yourself with dogwood saplings, locust and sumac, sprouting miraculously from raw destructions. West Virginia, wild cherry blossoms would shower your slag. Native poets will honor you with haiku, and balms of green, like Vaseline, will salve your red dog scars by masking the handiwork of your exploiters, those whom I curse aloud with this poem. West Virginia, your tolerance is too great, your generosity too boundless, your forgiveness too near complete. You favor us too kindly with trees that strain the sky with leaves, with rivers that with the millennium will purge themselves in us, your progeny grown to fruitation in your moist shadows. West Virginia, you are family, rock, salt, and stone, blood, kin, and bone. This is why I come home to you, like a child to mother in crisis time, to lament your damned demise and to sing the psalm of your praises from the top of every folded ridge to every person in every valley that has ears to hear and would do so. For every person in a valley down the blocks and the alleys in the streets that has to have ears to hear and would do so. So the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. And once again I say, we can do more together than any of us can do on our own. So I'm going to go down. We might come back with it, but we'll definitely be here next week. I'm going down starting at 9:30. We'll be once again, and it's a beautiful evening in San Francisco, down at the Bart Plaza, just 16th Street and Bart, just a half block from here, is the C Collaborative A Arts Insurgency, throwing down and getting up and throwing down and putting it out there, the spoken word, the singing word, the smoking word, or as the kids say, word, coming down. And this is the voice where poetry and politics and revolution meet. Here we be, just feeling free. Hey David, hey Daisy, welcome to coming by. You're always welcome here for sure. And now to take us out, here they are, the charming Hostesses, a women's band from around here, putting out the word. See you.